Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and there has been a change to the podcast. With this podcast, we are going to finish up last week's, and we are going to talk about NIL versus professional leagues, as well as the NFL pregame wholesale changes they are going to make. I hope you enjoy it. Everybody, this is William Del Pilar, and this is Points on the Board, where politics and sports intersect. And we've got a hell of a show for you today. We are going, well, first of all, let me not get ahead of myself like I usually do. You can find this podcast as well as our political podcast, our pure play sports podcast, which means no politics, no social media, no nothing but pure sports talk, as well as our entertainment podcast. You can find those at Grumblings Media. You can find those on social media platforms such as YouTube, Rumble, Spotify, Pandora, Apple, and Google at the profile handle Grumblings Media. Not only do we ask you to watch, I ask you to share. I mean, come on, look at this face, face that needs to be shared. As I said, we have a kick-ass show today. Again, to remind the folks, this show has diverted to talking about politics and sports, the business of sports, everything that's fascinating that does not necessarily talk or discuss the actual games. But we're going to talk sports at times as well. So this show, we're going to talk about the NIL versus professional sports. And we have an upcoming NBA draft and a recently ended NFL draft that is giving us clues. Well, it's not really giving us clues. It's validating what we thought would happen. Then we're going to talk about CBS NFL pregame and their overhaul, getting rid of two stud quarterbacks. A lot of criticism about that. I don't get it, and I don't agree with it. And finally, Big John Georgopoulos. He's our libertarian in the office. He's also really clued in and tied into the comedic world of actual comedians. This man knows everything from the start of that, not only individuals, but the industry, how it works, especially with the New York City Comedy Club. And obviously, we get a lot of our great comics from the New York City area. So he's going to be on board to talk to us about the Tom Brady roast, one of the funniest roasts I have seen in decades. However, I'm also going to let Big John know that it wasn't really a roast by its truest sense, but it was still funny as hell. So let's get on into this. First topic at hand is NIL and professional sports collide. NIL is actually called the Name, Image, and Likeness Policy. I did not know that till I began doing my research. It's funny about acronyms. Those are the one things we quickly forget what they actually mean because we just stop saying the full name and start living by the acronyms. And that's what's going to happen with NIL. Everybody will know what NIL is without realizing name, image, and likeness. It's a game changer in the world of college sports. It significantly altered the decision-making process for players considering early draft status, whether it's the NBA or NFL or whatever league. So college players can now earn money through NIL deals. And this has changed the calculus for how these players consider entering these drafts. So for example, in college basketball, Indiana University's Trace Jackson Davis, he went through the pre-draft process, but he decided to go back to school. His NIL arrangements or his deals, look, at the end of the day, it was probably going to give him greater financial security than where he could have been selected in the NBA draft. Now, also UNC's Armando Paco also decided to return to college, and he was being smart about it. He goes, look, I can improve my game, earn my degree, and make money through NIL. And as a human who believes in the greatness of America, we are a shining beacon. We are the land of opportunity. To hear a player say that, that player is going to amount to something big in his life because he has his goals and he has his priorities right. Not only is it about the money, but it's about that degree because you never know how short that professional career will be. Now, granted, they do earn some big contracts, but even then, players tend to blow through that money without thinking twice. And that's another sad tale, but that's a tale for another day. So the NIL policy affects players projected to be borderline, say, second round draft picks. I'm talking the NBA here, but it likely applies to the NFL here. But more importantly, if you've declared, I think there's a way you can go back to school even after declaration, but if players who don't get picked, they can go right back to school, you know, or I'm sorry, players that don't get, that go undrafted. This is what are called fringe prospects. Now, they have the value of anywhere from $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 for an NIL deal. And people, if you manage that money properly, that is seed money for your retirement. It really is, and it will grow exponentially. The problem is young kids do not realize this. Previously, players may have transferred from the mid-major programs. They may have gone to larger schools to gain better visibility, to enhance their draft prospects. Now NIL can even influence that. Look, if you're a big fish at a little school and you're earning a few hundred thousand, say 200, 300,000, the prospect of transferring to a higher program may not be so attractive because your NIL deal may only be worth $10,000. Not to mention, you may not be given the opportunity to start. The point being is the NIL can help the mid-range players. Now, overall, I think the NIL is going to be abused, and you're going to see the top collegiate programs every year, no ifs, ands, or buts, snagging the top-rated athletes just for the simple fact they're going to have more money to spend than there are players. But there is a spot for the lesser player. By lesser, I don't mean individual as a person, but in talent. So basketball's role in NIL, the evolution. Well, look, so football dominates everything, you know, regarding the NIL. Even with Caitlin Clark at Iowa, you know, there wasn't much talk about her NIL because my take was, why not just stay another year? Actually try to get the championship that's eluded you for the last 2 years because you haven't had a team around you to compete in that final and use the NIL money. I did not consider the fact that she is going to be the top WNBA star, period, end of story, and is going to be able to command multi-million dollar long-term contracts. And good for her. However, so football dominates everything. Basketball has played a crucial role. And to remind people, Ed O'Bannon had the lawsuit in 2009 against the NCAA that he won, and it allowed athletes to benefit from their own likeness. This lawsuit was as impactful as the Supreme Court stating, no, federal government, you do not have the right to dictate to states if they can or can't have gambling. That's how much of an impact this has on college sports and its relationship to the NBA and the NFL and other leagues. And the points I made, what they do is they highlight what are changing dynamics, you know, in college sports to new and greater opportunities for college athletes, as William Shatner would say in my poor man's version. You know, I am terrible at imitating people. Well, what makes Shatner fun is he just pauses and uses his hands. And William Shatner. He just did it so well. The guy's an icon for playing a role of a show that didn't have the best of ratings. It was canceled after 3 years. That has become a cult phenomenon. The only downside for Star Trek is they can't make the blockbuster, the tent blockbuster revenues that they think it should. It has its own niche and its own world. And Paramount Plus is banking on the whole Star Trek family to keep its dying conglomerate alive. All right, so let's move on to the football. Now, in football, we've already had one issue. Marvin Harrison Jr. has not signed his NFLPA contract because he's got a deal worth over $1 million, pictures, autographs, your typical type scenario that retirees really live off of. So he hasn't signed his NFLPA contract yet. So not only is it going to collide, or is it colliding with making the decision to get drafted, but it's also colliding with deals that are already in place that extend over past the individual's college career. You know, so that we're already in one scenario. I'm not sure how it's going to play out, and I am anxiously awaiting to see how it plays out. You know, $1 million is a lot to walk away from. Remember, he's a rookie. So his deal, even though it's multi-millions, is limited. It has a ceiling. You know, so again, like basketball, the NIL is allowing college football players to earn more money, and that's a better value proposition for players than even basketball. So the impact it's going to have on the NFL draft is critical. In fact, late or mid-round picks, as I mentioned earlier, if they're not guaranteed a spot, they're now, what's the word here? Incentivized to stay in school. And again, just like the basketball player I talked about a few minutes ago, they can continue to develop their skills, especially a position like quarterback with mechanics. Maybe not a running back so much, because you're just going to get pounded more. It's a year more of pounding, you know? So, but for the quarterbacks, other positions of that nature where technique is very important, that will also help them in their decision. Hey, I'm getting paid here. Why not sit there and just get better at my craft, which means if I hold out or if I stay in, I can up my draft position. And that is a logical and smart way of thinking here. And this did affect the recent NFL draft. Only 58 underclassmen entered the draft, and that is the fewest since 2011. And I had the 2011 number here somewhere, but just remember, I think it was like over 100 at its peak in terms of underclassmen that entered at one point. So you're seeing this directly have impact. And I think it does two things for the NFL teams, One, it helps them out. They're able to put greater and more emphasis and more time to study, to talk to the players that are in there. But according to the San Francisco 49ers general manager, John Lynch, they had some players who were graded that were underclassmen as starters entering the NFL. So it will set some teams' long-term plans. It will delay them or make them revisit it, because where that team thought that player could fall to them, where they were ready to pick, it may be out of their reach come next the following year. You just never know. So it is affecting that. It did affect the current NFL draft. Now, we don't have any money, but we're hearing anywhere from the norm for star players for a season is $250,000 to $500,000. I would imagine a player like Caleb Williams, a player like Caitlin Clark, a player like Big John Georgopoulos, they tend to get much higher in that. Risk and reward. No, there is no risk and reward. I just said it. I'm looking at my notes. I'm trying to do better with these podcasts. Look. NIL is just a financial safety net, you know, but what I like about it in my research, again, and I've come across it a couple of times and I've said it a couple of times and I'll repeat it, because as human beings, we want the best for these kids. As athletes, that's a quick and short career. So to see them talk about and have the opportunity to get an education. And let me tell you something, all these SEC schools, these Pac-10, 12 schools, they never cared about their players. You know, UCLA in its heyday, USC, all of the SEC now, they don't care. If you graduate dumb as a rock, they don't care. So I hope this can change the mentality too, and give greater preference to the importance of continuing that education. Now, this NIL also helps out with the transfer portal. Some players see it, hey, it's going to decrease the transfer portal. True, but I think it's also going to help people transferring. They're going to see greater opportunities at different schools. This is like free agency. You know, they may think going to Colorado with Deion Sanders is going to help shine a light on them. Maybe, maybe not. You know, so this is still in the Wild Wild West saga. You know, in fact, I did find my notes. So the San Francisco 49ers and Baltimore Ravens did notice a reduction in the players. So the 49ers graded 170 draftable players. In the previous years, they had about 250. And that came from an article, and I've got about 20 sources. So I apologize to where I got that from, but it is in my sources. Now, there's also the late-round pick dilemma. The scarcity of draftable talent will lead teams to consider trading away more late round picks. Now, that said, Brock Purdy, who was the final pick in the draft, he had already completed his 4 years. So don't take that as a given. There's still going to be quality gems you can find. But let's be honest, as each round progresses, the potential for a bust or a washout increases as well. Let me give this example, too, in terms of people who think they're going to be looking at less desirable players. Tom Brady was not a desired player when he got picked in the sixth round with the 199th pick. He was that throwaway grab that the Patriots took on him. They saw some potential with his skill set, but statistically speaking, they probably felt he was a practice squad guy. So you know, and then let's take a look at Brock Purdy with the final pick. And those are the two big name players that everybody will recognize, but there are literally been thousands of players taken in those final few rounds that have gone on to have phenomenal careers. Not to mention when it was 12 rounds, 11 or 12, I want to say 12 rounds. And I want to say at one point, 16 rounds, you would find gems even then. So do not throw away the late round pick dilemma with NIL as becoming useless. It is not. So to close this out, NIL has completely changed the impact of the game. And what I've said to you all, most of you may know, but I'm sure you're not aware of the fact that how some of these kids are thinking of the opportunity to go back to school and improve their skill set. Most people look at it from the human nature aspect. Money, 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 money. Whether we like it or not. And I said this to Big John, and he didn't agree. And I think I didn't say it right, but I believe it's true. Whether we like it or not, we are judged by our financial success. Individually, you can judge yourself however you want. I judge myself by the fact that I can look in the mirror and knowing I have never purposely screwed somebody over, because I know unpurposely I have. We all do. It's just how life works. But to close it out, this landscape will continue to evolve. We are in the wild, wild west of this landscape, and there will be changes brought by the NCAA to the NIL, which will be challenged in court, but some of this has to be pared back. It's pretty much, hey, I'm going to give you this much money next year, a different booster, I'm going to give you this much money. So it's going to be chaos with a lot of that. So you'll see rules come in terms of the transfer portal or things of that nature. But we're going to have to wait and see. So moving on, my friends, let's talk NFL pregame. CBS NFL pregame is not renewing the contracts of Phil Simms and Boomer Esiason. I am sentimentally attached to the NFL pregame because my former company, KFFL, a fantasy sports company, we did regular sports as well, but our bread and butter was fantasy sports. I believe, I've never verified this, but I've been following football and watching this since the 70s. And I had never seen until our show a reporter investigate, research what fantasy sports is all about. And it was my company they did, and we were featured on the NFL pregame. It was American Dream. And here's the kicker. One example, we did all the content for Yahoo Sports. They thought we were a company of 20 some odd people working out of office spaces. I had, we had three full-time editors, my partner and I, and then one guy almost full-time, if not, I think it was full-time, doing marketing. And then we had 70 freelance writers. On season, we always had every reporter covering each locker room, but we worked out of my garage. And what people saw when the camera first panned, and I begged, it was Armin Katan. I begged Armin, please, I beg you, do not show my garage. And Armin's take was, this is American Dream. He goes, this is unbelievable. And I wish I had the paycheck to kind of go with the unbelievable, but I don't worry about that. Those are decisions I made. But I took care of a lot of people and I'm happy and proud of. But yeah, we were featured. So I have some sentimentality to them. That said, I didn't watch the show. I stopped watching the pregame shows. I can't remember how long. I think probably when Tom Jackson retired, you know, the ESPN pregame, I don't even like it. The CBS pregame, I don't care for it. I used to love the Fox pregame. But I got to be honest, guys. Terry Bradshaw is well past his prime. The errors, the mistakes, how lost he looks. And he's a fucking moron. I said it. I usually don't like cursing like that. He's a fucking moron. You know, I tell you, Aaron Rodgers, ivermectin is just for horses, boy. No, you freaking moron. The creator of it won a Nobel Prize. You know, it is true. I used to look up to Terry Bradshaw. I used to love him to death. But Terry Bradshaw is as Hollywood Henderson said. He can't spell cat if you spot him the C and the T. But I've digressed enough. Let's get back to the fact they are not renewing Phil Sims and Boomer Esiason. Two great quarterbacks in their era. Phil Sims winning the Super Bowl. Boomer Esiason being part of the Cincinnati Bengals during an era where they didn't even hire scouts. They paid like $200,000 a year for scouting reports. That's how bad, how cheap, and how pathetic the Bengals were at that time frame. I'm pretty sure they were still there because Boomer did not play, to my knowledge, when I started my company. But I'd have to look that up. But yes, that is true. There was a time when the Bengals did not have any scouts, did no scouting. They were the only team that would pay a couple of hundred G's, and they would get all these scouting reports, and that's how they would do their drafts. So CBS has replaced Phil Sims, and I did not know this, Norman Julius Esiason on the NFL Today studio team. And the speculation, as always, is why? Some believe age had a role to play. Sims is 68, and Esiason is 63. However, the reason that's not true is CBS extended the contract of James Brown, as well as head coach Bill Cowher. James Brown is 73, and I want to say Bill Cowher is like 60. He's in his mid-60s at least. So it's kind of a wash there. Now, obviously, my friend says, because they're white, man. No, that's not it neither. What you may not realize is, look, David Burson, he's the new CBS Sports boss, and he may be looking at refreshing the show's lineup, despite what many people look at as successful chemistry and entertainment value. No, I see the chemistry there, but I am not. That show is not entertaining. It's very boring. It's very bland. And I think they're wasting Nate Burleson's talent away. The guy's incredible on there. At least he was at the NFL Network. I'm not as impressed with him since. They need to let him come out of his shell a bit. You know, let him not have antics, but, you know, I think he should be the star of the show, to be quite frank. There's just the man can make a turtleneck work. And I got three turtlenecks. I'm waiting to show off here in the next month too, people. Thank you, Nate, for showing me. Yes. There is still room for the turtleneck. Now, some analysts, reporters, and let me cut to the chase, people who have befriended them, people who know them, or people who know of them, or have taken sides in this, you know, they say it's a lack of loyalty. You know, they say, and they cite examples, but they're all flawed. At the end of the day, the NFL or television is a business. When I was in college, I took some courses in the late 80s. And I remember one college study. It was a case of an anchor in Puerto Rico who sued the studio for ageism. And the studio was like, yeah, we fired her. She's old. We got a younger thing in there. Whoop, our ratings went up. She lost her case because the ratings went up. And the courts determined, hey, age is a factor. So I don't know, you know, because it's a territory, I don't know legally if that could be used as precedent, but it is part of television. You know, people like to look at pretty people on TV. And look, I don't have any proof. I don't have anything, but I would sit there and state statistically, there's a small segment of society that they see nothing but average the ugly people on television with woke storylines. They're not watching. Oh, I'm sorry. That's me. I want to see pretty people. I'm not gay, but I want to see a buff guy who fits the role as well as an athletic looking beautiful woman who's playing his sidekick. You know, there's certain roles. There's a certain way I want that role to look. So, yeah, I am one of them, you know. Now, some of the reasons to review for non-renewal: age concerns, performance considerations, meaning they may have had chemistry, but like I say, they were bland and boring. But the bottom line is their contracts were up in the 2023 season. So they weren't fired. They just weren't renewed. Now, there's two reasons I say the change is needed. Look, in television, if you're on the news or NFL pregame, yeah, you can get old on there. But you got to have, you got to be Boomer. You got to be, you know, Chris Boomer over, what the heck is Boomer's last name? Anyway, Chris, he retired. He's still on there every so often. He does the NFL Prime show. He used to do it with Tom Jackson. I mean, if you age like him and Tom, you can be on there for a while. But if you're boring, doesn't matter how good Boomer or Sims look, they're going to create a change. So they're bringing in new faces, Matt Ryan and J.J. Watt. They're both, you know, Matt Ryan, I've never seen him as a personality. To be quite frank, I don't see Tom Brady as a personality. I think Tom Brady may go the way of Joe Montana. Every time I see Tom Brady in some kind of a scenario where he's talking, it's always soft-spoken. I mean, he may have a lot to say, but you got to be entertaining. Joe Montana was boring. I remember him. He retired with the NBC, did not last there long. You know, so that's the impression I get out of Matt Ryan. But we'll see. You know, God bless Matt Ryan. I'll always remember him for giving the Super Bowl away. Him and Mike Shanahan, you know, giving that Super Bowl away. The two Tom Brady's Patriots. J.J. Watt, I don't know. He maybe provided a fresh face. He is popular on social media. He's popular with NFL fans. Most people know who he is. Despite the fact he was an edge rusher. Matt Ryan, people may need to be reminded, but they'll immediately grasp. I was told that Matt Ryan was boring when he was doing commentary in the booth during games, but we'll see. They must have seen something for him. So at the end of the day, new, younger faces is why I see it. And with athletes, athletes come by cheap. Look, the athlete retires, boom. It's like a rookie contract. You're starting that athlete on the lower pay scale. Somebody like Phil Sims and Boomer Esiason, they've kind of moved on up. A lot of television shows get canceled because it's cheaper to bring in a new show over what you're paying the old show. I mean, Blue Bloods is a great example. They're still doing 10 million plus a year, which is a season, which is, or per episode, which is much greater than literally every other network television show. But it's an expensive show. They had to take a pay cut to come, and they said it's the last season. And they've got an exciting new show called Fire Country. They're going to do a spinoff. I don't watch none of those shows except Blue Bloods, and so I've read about this. And it's cheaper to do a spinoff of a successful show with new actors. It just costs much less. So that could be another reason. The real reason, my friends, the real reason, I believe, is ratings. Look, Fox NFL Sunday, and I had to double check, and I reviewed this. I researched it twice, and the number I kept coming up with was approximately 25 million people watch that show. You know, but I think that may have been the highest rated show, and that was in 2018. But you get my point. Possibly tens of millions watch Fox. You know, it's been on the air for 30 years. I started watching it on day one. I haven't watched it in maybe 10 years now because they got old, boring, and they're just bad. They're bad. They forget stuff. I mean, Jimmy Johnson is going to be like 81. And he's just part-time and he's so old and decrepit. And it's like, get rid of him. But they value that chemistry. And their names have become synonymous with the NFL and that NFL pregame. And I've already talked about Terry Bradshaw. I mean, the moron just forgets everything. That's right. I said, moron, get off my back. You know, and Howie's great. And I've never even seen a show with Michael Strahan or Rob Gronkowski. Is Michael Strahan even on there still? You know, Jay Glazer is always a breath of fresh air. I came up the same ropes as Jay Glazer. It's kind of funny. I'll digress again here a little bit. I could have gone the route of the insider the way I built KFFL.com. You know why? The way I built KFFL.com's player news, that's actually how insiders begin. Then they become an insider, they'll work for a company, and they rely on those reporters. Now, I've heard stories. I've had reporters directly tell me how much they hate certain insiders because all they do is use them and steal their work. And then they come back later, poo, 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 sorry. And the poor reporter still holds out hope he can eventually use this guy to get in on ESPN or Fox Sports or wherever. So they kind of don't say much. So I could have been an insider in that sense. That was never my goal. That never entered my head, not once. But looking back at it, how they were built, I would have been an insider along the lines of an Adam Kaplan, only better. I'm more likable, you know. But Jay Glazer worked it. God bless that kid. I that kid. We're the same age. He is a true blue patriot. He cares about veterans. He cares about his fellow human beings. Him and Steve Cohen, who is used to be the vice president over at SiriusXM, two of the nicest guys I came up with in that industry. But anyway, so Fox NFL Sunday, 24.9 million viewers. Again, the panel chemistry. Now, they had better chemistry with James Brown there than they ever have had with Kurt Metaphy. I'm sorry. That's how it is. And James Brown was there only for the first early years before CBS whisked him away with Mo' Money, Show Me the Money. They must have showed him a lot of money, you know. And so the chemistry is there. It flows. And despite the flubs, the errors, the stupidity, the ignorance, the whatnot, the... That show used to be a 10 for many years. That show is easily barely scraping by with a 6 today in quality. But the chemistry is what keeps it going. I think the show's going to change up when either Bradshaw or Johnson hits their next journey. I mean, Bradshaw does not look healthy at all. And Johnson looks like he moves a tortoise is going to beat him in a race. You know, but they are seen as a gold standard. Their competition is the NFL Today because NBC has NBC Sunday Night Football, so they don't compete. So the NFL Today, get this, average 3.4 million viewers last season. That's not just lagging. That's decrepit numbers when you're compared to the gold standard. And I think that's why it changed. You know, I think CBS was happy with that viewer amount. They were probably generating the advertising revenue they expected, wanted, felt. We've got these guys locked in. Let's run with it. They got a new CBS Sports chief in. Contract ended. Let's revamp this. You know, I'm not sure how good the revamping will be, but let's revamp it. But I think they're going to look at Fox, and they're going to see how the pregame shows have evolved and take a look at Amazon Prime's Thursday night. It's more hip. That's what it boils down. It's more hip, more color, more culture, more everything. And that's good. You know, I may not care for, I grew up in a different era with presentation, so I don't care for the more hip hop, the more hip, you know, putting both white and black. That's, I like it, but it's not me. I'm just as happy with the boring, sterile CBS pregame. But then again, maybe I wasn't. I do enjoy Amazon's pregame and aftergame. So I am on board with that new look, how it's evolved. It's just letting go of the old. And maybe I am signifying I am letting go of the old with my agreement. Yeah, they should have canceled. They should cancel or not renew these contracts. But 3.3 million compared to 25 million. It's night and day. You know, so I believe that is the main reason that this happened. I truly do in my heart. So look forward to a new pregame. We'll probably come back and talk about it.